going rough in her life, and she'd go to work and come home very discouraged. And one day she was coming home, walking slowly along the side of the street, couldn't even look up, just looking down. And there in the street gutter laid a booklet. And it was one of these right here, a John Romans. And she saw it there. It was covered with dust, and she picked it up, and she wiped it off. And she said, oh, the gospel according to John and Romans. And she opened it up, and it said in there, how to be saved, turn to such and such a page. So she took it home, and that night she fixed a little something to eat, and she sat down, and she began to read. And she went through the marked edition first. She went verse to verse to verse, looked at what it said. And then she started in the book of John, and she began to read right straight through. And she got somehow into Romans, but it was already late in the night. And she realized that she needed what this was talking about. And she asked Christ to save her. And then she said, I want to know more. Where did this come from? And so the next day at work, you know, she had it in her heart and her mind. She said, where did that book come from? And she said, something kept impressing upon me to go down to the train station. And she said, I don't want to go to the train station. See, I'm not going anywhere. She said, why should I go down to the train station? And she said, there's a lot of people there, a lot of thieves, you know. And she said, I don't want to go down there. And she says, through the day, she said, she kept arguing with herself. She had no idea what it was. Something just kept telling her to go to the train station. Well, finally at the end of work, she says, okay, I'll go. So she heads down there, and before she gets there, there's two big archways, one on each side where people go in and out into the train station, and she notices here's two blonde ladies standing there passing these out. And one was my wife and one was my sister-in-law. She came running over there, and of course in Lithuania, and she just started unloading on them. And you hear some of those foreign languages, it's kind of like a machine gun, you know, just kind of it's coming out, you know. And she said, wait a minute, we want to get an interpreter over there. And she came, and that's when she shared that story with my wife and with Tricia. And then she said, how can I know more? And they said, well, tonight, it was on a Thursday, there's going to be a meeting at the church. And so they gave her the address and said, you come there tonight and you can hear more. And so that evening, when we had service, in she walks with her neighbor. She invited her neighbor to come. And so they sat down and sat through the service. And when the service was over, the missionary was making some final comments and dismissing. And over here, she's there, and she's like this. And so Brother Derek looked. He says, "Ma'am, can I help you?" And she says, "Yes." She said, "I'm supposed to get baptized." And he didn't know her from anybody, you know. And he says, "Well, how do you know that?" She pulled out this John of Romans and said, she says, it says right in here. She said, when I trust Jesus, I'm supposed to get baptized. And so she stuck around and got to hear more that night. And that's just one story. And we can go on and on with different ones that have, and that was a discarded scripture that was laying on the street. And so you don't know what God's going to do with all that scripture. And, you know, that's up to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's our job to get the word out there. It's our job to tell other people about Christ. It's our job to take, you know, gospel tracts and pass them out to people. It's our responsibility to do that part of it. Then it's up to the Holy Spirit to convict them, to work on their hearts, and to bring them to Christ. And so it's a great privilege we have serving a great God. And so you pray for us. We were supposed to be, this September, we were going to be in Berlin, Germany, and had everything set up there to go and blitz that city with the Word of God. And of course, COVID-19 changed everything. But anyway, we had to reschedule it for next year. So it'll be 2021 in September. So you pray for that. We have 36 people coming with us. They're all signed up, ready to go. And we have scriptures prepared. They're waiting in Milford, Ohio, in the warehouse. We'll ship them out next year. We already have Bibles, whole Bibles bought. They're in a warehouse in Berlin, ready for our meetings, so we can hand out whole Bibles. What we do is we invite folks, when we give out the John Romans on the streets, we also give out an invitation. and the invitation invites the recipient to come to a meeting. We rent a hall, either an opera house, a theater, a cultural house, some neutral place where they can come. And then when those folks come, they come in the door, we give them a visitor's card. And of course, on this invitation, it tells them if they come, they get a free Bible as a gift. And so they hear the gospel preached that night, and then we ask them to come if they want to come back to a Bible study. We'll have a place lined up in a neutral location. Usually we'll get a small conference room in a hotel or something where these people can come, and then the missionary can take and begin to deal with them and work with them and teach them. Because you got to remember, these folks, you got to spoon feed them. Most of them know nothing. I mean, they weren't raised in a religion. Most of them in those countries were raised under communist, socialist atheism. And that's all they know. And so it's new to them. And so they began working with them. And eventually we see new churches started through that outreach. And we were just, you know, you saw in the presentation we were in Switzerland, Germany, and Austria in 2017. And we just heard word here a few months back that the missionary that was in Switzerland, he said, we've been able now to start two new churches in southern Germany as a result of that scripture campaign. And getting the Word of God out makes a difference. You got to get it into the hands of people. So thank you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for being behind us and helping us and holding our arms up. You know, we need God's people doing that. And be praying for this next year as well. We're going to go in June. We're going to Croatia, going back to Zagreb. We were there a couple years ago. We helped a missionary start a church. And he says, now, he said, I'd like to start a second church in another area of the city. And so we figured that there's just over 800,000 people in Zagreb. So we thought, maybe two Baptist churches wouldn't be too bad. And it's neat that he wants to start a new one instead of having a split already. And so you pray for us and pray for that. We're also looking into printing up some whole Bibles over there. They'd be between $9 and $10 a piece. And so we told them, let's do 2,000 of them. And so you pray with us on that. And if the Lord should lead you to help, you take, you know, 2,000, we're looking at close to $20,000. And you say, man, that's a lot of money. Well, roughly $10 a piece. And it's one here, one there, one here, one there. And it adds up. So you pray with us on that, that we can see that happen and hold those two campaigns. Let's pray that this whole thing starts to die down. And so we can continue carrying on and getting the Word of God out and blitzing these areas. And it's just an amazing, amazing time that we're in. It really is. And as preacher said, pray for our election. Please do. All right, let's look this evening in the book of Matthew. In Matthew in chapter 5. And we'll look in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to go down and look at verses 14 through 16. And here it says in Matthew 5, starting in verse 14. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now, Lord, for this time that we can open your book, the Bible. And Father, as we do, I pray tonight that you might use the Word of God in our hearts and our lives to draw us closer to Thee. And Lord, that we might be more thankful for all that you do for us. And Lord, then that we might be a better servant of yours. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the praise, the honor for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to look for a little bit tonight at a familiar thing, the candle. The candle. And you notice here it says that in verse number 16, it says that they may see your good works. You know, the world out there, lost people, they got to see something different in the life of a Christian. They got to be able to see something in you and I that the world does not replicate. And so they're looking for something different. And so when it comes to topics like this, you notice in the Bible that the Lord makes some of these things very, very simple. This scripture here can be understood by the smallest child in this comparison about a candle. and lighting a candle and not hiding it under a bushel and putting it on the candlestick and so forth. And it's something so it can get its light out. And then you get down, and of course in verse 16 it goes on, it says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, our light is to shine out so we can show other people the light, a far greater light, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, man cannot produce his own light. We can't do that. Neither can the devil. The devil's an imitator. He can be transformed into an angel of light, but he does not create his own light. And you go back to the book of Psalms, in Psalms 18, and you look down in verse number 28, and it says this, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." I thank God that back in March 19th, 1972, the Lord lit my candle. When I realized I was a lost sinner, and I got down and I said, "Oh God, forgive me for my previous 19 years of life living the way I wanted to live, and Lord, now I want to give the rest of my life to You." And when I did that, boom, there was a change in me. You say, what happened? What took place? The guilt was gone. It was gone. I mean, I was carrying around a 19-year-old young man, but I'd been, my brother Ken, shame on him, he kept telling me scripture verses. He got saved earlier, you know, and so that kept convicting me. And so the more I got convicted, the more the weight was on my shoulders, and it got to the place where I couldn't stand it anymore. And when I turned it over to Him, He took it. He took the load. And then the first thing I was going to do is, you know, I was going to tell my mom and dad there was going to be a change in my life. Things were going to be different. I wasn't going to be going to the taverns anymore. I wasn't going to run with that crowd anymore. All of a sudden, I was going this way, and now, boom, I was going this way. And there was a change that took place. But it wasn't my light, it was His light that He gave me. He lit that candle. The Holy Spirit of God came and indwells within me. And so thank God for that. And so He lights us. Now, when we're lit, when you light a candle, you got to be careful where you place it. You know, we can place our candle. We can, if we're not careful, we can take and hide it. We can take that candle and put it in a place, you know, it'd be kind of like in here tonight if all of a sudden the power went off. And it would be pretty black in here. And it'd be pitch black if the power went out. And let's say we had up here a candle. And we'd take and light that candle. And what I'd do after I lit it, I would open up this door and I'd set it in here and close the door. Is that what I ought to do with it? He'd say, man, that'd be awful dumb. Well, you got to take that candle, it says, and don't put it under a bushel, but you put it up here on a high place. And then even if it just be one candle, it'd be amazing how much of a difference it would make in a big dark room like this. But it's got to shine. It's got to shine forth. And you know, think about this, you know, when like I just mentioned about my testimony, when I got saved, how bright and how fresh that light was. And oh, listen, how you wanted to just let it shine. And when you think when you first got saved and when God transformed your life and how you just wanted to radiate out that which God did for you. But the problem is so many times we let it go dim. And it starts in to die down and we can't do that. We got to keep that light bright. And I think a lot of times what happens is if we're not careful, because when we have that lit within us, it's the spiritual life. It's something that God has given to us, and it's a spirit that's made us alive in Christ. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden we can let the carnal begin to cover the spiritual. And all of a sudden the cares and the problems of this world and all the things of this world begin to get overshadowed, and they become a bushel basket that begins to hide that light. And it begins to get dimmer and dimmer if we're not careful. And so we have to be careful with that candle and what we do with it. And then we got to be careful not to place the candle in low places. You know, you don't want to take the candle once you get saved and take it down into the tavern. You don't want to take the candle once you get saved and get in on the internet and take it down in the internet in places where you ought not to be. Well, listen, we've got to be careful what we do with the candle. We don't want to take it down into low places and put it in areas where it ought not to be. You don't want to drag Jesus down into these worldly places, because we're to be set apart. We're a new creation in Christ. And that candle is to be burning, and it's to be, you know, don't let it become secondary. Don't let that light there that He has lit within it, don't let it become secondary. And so many times we do. We allow everything else to take precedence over what we do for Christ. You know, listen, how important it is that number one, we get in His book after we get saved. You know, like right here, God's Word shall stand. It's been standing for centuries. And it's going to continue to stand. No matter who comes against it, no matter how the devil has tried to do everything he can to destroy it. I'll never forget, as we work in Eastern Europe and that part of the world, it's amazing. The battle just isn't for our King James Bible. The battle is worldwide to destroy the Bible. And I'll never forget, we were in Poland, and this is back in the 80s when it was still under communism, and we were smuggling into the country these little green New Testaments we got from Trinitarian Bible Society. And I remember one time one of the pastors that was a recipient of those in his church, after the service, he sat down with me and he held this book out and he says, "Did you get these into us?" And I said, "Yes, we did." And he says, "You know," he says, "the language is pretty old." He says, the mature audience, those that were 40 years old and older, he says, "they can read it no problem." But he says, "the younger people, our language has changed a lot." He says, "the communists did it on purpose." He says, "trying to bring a division between the young people and the older people." And he says, "so the young people have a hard time reading this." But he says, "you know something? I like the spirit of this book." He said, "their other Bible that was brought in," he says, "it's not there." And you say, why? Because it was a paraphrase. It was one that the devil wanted to put in, where they do subtle little changes in it, like changing Joseph and Mary to his father and his mother, and breaking down the deity of Christ in all these different areas. And he said, "but I like the spirit of this book." Oh, listen, God's Word's going to stand. It's going to stand. And so you and I, when that candle's lit, we got to get in the Word of God, because this is the fuel that keeps the candle burning. You know, we got to keep adding that wood to the candle. Keep it going. Keep things going and keep the fire burning. So we got to be in the Word of God. And you notice here, now let's get back to our scripture in Matthew chapter 5. And notice here in verse number 15, he says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." In the house. First of all, the candle has got us shine brightly in your house. Now, what is your house? Look it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, a familiar scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says this, "What?" A question mark. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." He says, listen, he says, you are a house. He says, you're the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. And he says, I want your light to shine, first of all, in the house. And you notice then he says in verse 16 back in our text, that it may glorify your Father. You notice what it says over here in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 6. Therefore glorify God in your body. It starts with us. We have to have, if we're going to affect anybody around us, we have got to have that light shining bright within us. It begins here. Then I want you to see a second thing. You get back to our text, and in verse 16 it says, "Let your light so shine before men." First of all, it's in our house. Once the candle is bright within our house, he says, now you can begin to affect others. You can begin to reach and let it shine onto others around you. But it takes us. There's got to be something within us. so we can give it to them. Because if they look at us and they see no difference in us, we go to the same places they do, we do the same things they do, we say the same things they say, and so forth. Listen, if they don't see any different, how is it going to affect them? We have to begin here. And then it'll begin to go out there. Now here we find where the Lord takes, and He makes a comparison between us and a candle. Now, He says, do the works of a candle. That's basically what He's telling us here. He says, I want you to do the works of a candle. Now, what is the primary work of a candle? To burn. That's what the primary work of a candle is. To burn. So, here the candle is. It's lit. Now, once the candle is lit, if we were to light a candle and place one right here, what's the flame doing? Does the flame just stay there like my finger? No. You light a candle, the real deal is moving. Why is it moving? It's sucking up oxygen. When it's there, it's just kind of going just back and forth. It's just sucking in that oxygen. It's kind of like when you have a wedding and you have the candelabras set up here and you put the candlesticks in. And I know in our home church we had this air circulator where it would kind of go around the building this way, and always the candles on this side always burn twice as fast than the candles on that side. And you say, why? Because they were getting more wind. The candle loves that breeze. It loves that fresh breeze to blow on it. It burns faster and burns hotter. And listen, how we need the breath of God. And when that candle is moving, what that is, it's being active. It's active. So number one, what Christ wants us to be, like that candle, He says, I want you to be active. You got to be active for Him. You got to be going for Him. The primary work there is to be active and to be doing what God asks us to do. To be in His Word. To be in prayer. To be in church. To be in fellowship with other believers. To be willing to get the gospel out to people you know. You know, each one of you in here knows people that others in here do not know. Whether it be relatives, whether it be neighbors, whether it be people you work with, you know people that others do not know. And God has placed your candle in that circle so your candle can affect those with the gospel. And that's just how it works. He said, I want you to do the work of a candle. He says, be active. Just like that candle never sits still. It's always moving. It's always flickering. It's always sucking in that oxygen. And He says, I want you to be active. He said, don't become complacent. And just kind of rest in your laurels. Because, you know, we're not done until we meet Him. You know, sometimes people say, well, I just think God's done with me. You'll know when He's done with you. You say, well, how are you going to know that? You'll be looking at Him. Yeah, when He's done, you're going to be home. He says, okay, but as long as you're here, He says, I got a job for you to do. He says, I want you to be like this candle. He says, I want you to be active. There's a second thing about a candle. A candle is very humble. Think about it. When you look at the lighting, the way it is now with the LEDs and all the different lighting that there is and the power that's there, the candle is at the very bottom. I mean, it is at the very bottom of the lighting industry. And yet, isn't it kind of amazing when here we are in 2020, and light is still gauged by the candle, one candle power. You know, you have all this here. You know, I don't know how many lights are here. It's a whole lot better to have these than to have, say, 25 candles in here. You know, a whole lot brighter and a whole lot easier to take care of. But listen, here it is. The candle is just incredibly humble. The candle doesn't come in and brag about what it is. And it's just like we can't come in and announce ourselves and say, oh, wow, we're some great thing. Because we are nothing without Him. And we got to point everybody to Christ. He's the one that's why He says here, that you may glorify your Father which is in heaven. To glorify Him is telling others about Jesus Christ. And it says, the Lord is not slack as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that what? Any should perish, God says, I don't want anybody to perish. And if they're not going to perish, they have to hear the message. We got to get the word to them. And so we find that a candle is very humble. You know, God's not looking for big shots. You know, when people get saved, it isn't, okay, here's the puny salvations. And here's kind of up the ladder a little bit, and here's a little bigger, and over here, these are big salvations. It doesn't work that way. When you get saved, everything is level at the foot of the cross. Everybody's saved the same way. And we have different talents, we have different abilities, and God may use you in a different way than what He does someone else. But listen, there's no greater importance to this one and greater importance to that one. He says, listen, I put you in a position where, like I mentioned earlier, you know people others don't know. And He says, that's where I want your candle to shine. He says, that's where it's got to be bright. You know, when you think of, you say, well, what does God want? He wants a bunch of little shots shooting together. That's what He wants. You know, He's not looking for big guns, big shots. He says, hey, we need to work together. That's how the job gets done. It's kind of like the widow woman when Jesus was there by the treasury and He was watching as people came by and had His disciples there and they were casting in. Some cast in great amounts that they had given and others lesser amounts. And Jesus never said nothing. He just kept watching. And all of a sudden he stops and He says, did you see that? And imagine the disciples are there and they're looking around looking for some king or somebody of prominence and some big shot coming through. And what do we see? And He said, did you see that? And what, Lord? What do we see? And here just kind of filtering humbly through the crowd and leaving is this widow woman. And He says, that woman right there. And they're kind of scratching their head because when she came through, they didn't hear anything land in the box. It was like there was hardly nothing there. And Jesus said, listen, she gave all she had. All of her living. Well, listen. She was a little shot, but I wish God would tell us what God did for her. You know, you're not God's debtor. Nobody's going to be God's debtor. You do something for Him, He's going to take care of you. However He does it in different ways. He's done miraculous things in our lives since we've been saved and been serving God. Things that and the most miraculous thing is the consistency of safety that He's given us as we've traveled literally millions and millions of miles. And He's protected us. We've flown hundreds of thousands of miles. We've driven in vehicles many, many tens of thousands of miles in foreign countries and foreign fields and foreign rules and all this kind of stuff where you can't read the signs and God protects. And you can't take that for granted. God oversees. There's other things He might do in your home that you don't even realize what He's doing. Maybe the old Lizzie that you drive to go to work with is needing some work and has needed work for months. And you know it. And you get out there and you get in that old car and you say, Lord, help it to start. And the angel's there sitting beside the car and he looks up to the Lord and the Lord says, hey, they're faithful. Bam, it starts up. Maybe it's the old washing machine or the dryer that's been clunking and banging away for a long time. You say, man, we ought to get a new one. But a year goes by, another year goes by, and it keeps clanking and banging away, and the Lord just kind of keeps it going. A lot of those things we don't even think about. But you're serving God. He's doing things. He's taking care of things. You know? And it's just something He says, listen, I'll take care of this. I'll bless you. And I'll take care of this. Think of the little boy who brought the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that day. What God did. Just a little thing. A little lad who brought what he had and he gave it. And God took and multiplied it and mightily used it. It's the same way with what we do. Many times, you know, we look at things and think, wow, you know, we didn't do much here. But all of a sudden you find out down the road, God has taken that and multiplied it. You know, we've taken folks on these campaigns. And, you know, they come and they're part of the campaign team. And we don't know what God's doing in their heart. All of a sudden we find out, so-and-so, God's touched his heart because of a campaign. He goes to Bible school. And I was over in St. Petersburg, Russia. Married a national there, John Zwingle. He's been there now for probably 17 years already. We've had another one. Came with us on that Volga River campaign. We were in Chibuksari, Russia, the night of the meeting. And here's probably 500 people in the auditorium there that came that night to hear the Word of God preached. We have a German preacher, being Russian translator. They don't like the Germans. They didn't care much for them. But here he's preaching. He completes his message. Then he does something that's totally unconventional over there. He has an invitation. And I remember I was sitting there up in the back, and there was one of the translators close to me and said, "This is a big mistake." And I said, "What?" He said, "Russian people don't go forward." And it was silent. There was just a silence. And all of a sudden, one guy got up and he went forward. And all of a sudden, before we knew it, there was over 150 people packed up around there, weeping and bawling and receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. There was one of our workers, two rows ahead of me. He just broke out and just wept and bawled. And my brother Ken said, we were together, staying together in the same room in the hotel, and the next day or so, Ken says, "You know, one of these days," he said, "we're going to see Jeff. Jeff's going to come in, and he's going to say, 'God called me to the mission field.'" That same night, we hear a knock on our door. We open it up, and Jeff comes in. The tears are running, and he says, "God called me to Russia." Because they went. Oh, listen, you don't know. And then you see, when they go, who do they affect? John Zwingle. I don't know how many people he's affected over there with the gospel over these years. But you see, it starts out small. You don't know. You plant a seed. You give the gospel to someone. They get saved. You don't know what God's going to do with them. You don't know what he has in mind. Someday we'll find out. But boy, it's just precious to see. God's just looking for us just to work together. Oh, you know, you ever have somebody you look at and say, "Boy, they're never going to get saved"? I remember back years ago where my wife's brother John, he's a younger brother, a couple years younger than what she is. Well, he graduated high school. He headed out to Boston. He was a tremendous pianist and went there to Berklee College of Music. And out there, of course, he was one time, I'll never forget, he wrote back and he was bemoaning the fact that he got an A- one time. Straight A's, constant straight A's and everything. But he was so upset that he had an A-. But anyhow, while he's out there, of course, he's lost, and Laura would write to him. Probably every 6 weeks or so, she'd send a letter off. And as we'd go to churches, she'd look at the track racks. She'd always try to find different gospel tracks, different things she could put in, send it off to him. Well, he graduates out there, and he starts his own jazz band. They go out, and he's on a cruise ship, playing on a cruise ship for a couple years, got sick of that, went back into Boston and used this jazz band, playing in taverns and all this. And Laura just kept writing. 12 years go by. He comes home for Christmas one year, and Laura mentioned to our song leader, she says, you know John quite well, and you understand one another, how musicians think. He says, "Would you talk to him?" He says, "Sure, I'll sit down and talk to John." Well, after that night, after they met, and he talked with John for a while, and then the next day Laura asked Alan, says, what did John say? How was he? And Alan said, "He was cordial. He listened, but," he says, "I couldn't tell you if any of it made any difference to him." Well, that was around Christmas time. John headed back out about a week into January of the new year. We get a letter from John. And Laura opens it up, because John would never write. And all of a sudden she's weeping. And John said, "I trusted Christ as my Savior." And he said, "And I'm quitting the band, and I'm moving back to Oshkosh. I need to get into a good Bible preaching church." And God brought him back. But I mean, it looked like cold, indifferent. But you don't know what the Holy Spirit's doing. You just keep praying for him. You just keep getting the gospel. You just keep on. It's that little bit, you know, because you see what happens there is then guess who gets the glory? It's not the soul winner. Oh, I led him to Jesus. The glory goes to him. Because he's the one who did it. He's the one. He might use you as a vessel to tell somebody about Christ, and if they get saved when you're there, praise God. But somebody's been doing a lot of praying. Somebody's doing a lot of seed sowing. Somebody's done something in their life so they heard the gospel somewhere. Now listen, thank God for that. So the candle's humble. And then there's a third thing about a candle. It's selfless. A candle gives itself away. Well, listen, we have candles got to be active. It's humble. But it gives itself away. Boy, how much hope a little candle can bring. I remember back a number of years ago, we were in Kentucky. And during the midweek time there, I can't remember if the pastor or somebody said, you got to go to the Mammoth Cave. And so we went one time. We went to this Mammoth Cave, and they took us down in there, and the Forest Department and everything were there, and they were explaining the millions and millions of years ago, all this bunk. But anyway, we're down there looking at the beauty of what God did, and all of a sudden he says, now don't get nervous. He says, we're going to turn the lights out, and we want you to see what it's like in pure darkness. And they turn those lights out. And you could take your hand and you could come right up just about touching your nose and you saw nothing. Pitch black. And you know, one little candle in that big mammoth room, what it could have done, the hope it could have brought, just one little candle. You know, our country's in trouble right now. Great division, a division like I've never seen in our country. But you know, there's a lot of candles in this country. And if all these candles, you and I and all the other Bible-believing Christians, the candles that are out there, if they just let that candle in this darkened time just shine a little brighter and shine around them a little stronger and reach out a little more to others, you'd be shocked the hope that could bring to this country. But we got to be like a candle. He says, I want you to do the work of a candle. He says, I want you to be active. In the midst of it, you're going to be humble. And he says, I want you to give yourself away for my glory. He said, listen, that it may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, listen, you and I are candles. He's lit our candle. Let's let Him take and blow a little fresh air upon us. Breathe upon me, O Holy Spirit. Give me that fresh breath today that I might burn a little brighter. I might be a little more active and get the gospel a little further. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for these dear people. We thank You for this church and for their heart for missions. And Father, I pray now that You might just ignite all of us a little bit brighter. Breathe upon us a little more of that power of the Spirit of God. And Lord, that we might do what we can to get the gospel out. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe tonight the Holy Spirit talked to you about somebody you know that isn't saved. Maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a friend, acquaintance, co-worker. But somebody you know personally that you know aren't saved. And maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you tonight to say, you know, let your candle shine before them. Make a difference in their life.